So as all of you are well aware, this Thursday marks a special day for us as Americans, a nationally recognized day of thanksgiving to God, one that has accompanied our nation, really, when you study it, ever since its birth. George Washington proclaimed the first nationwide Thanksgiving celebration in America the very first year of our republic's birth, marking November 26, 1789, as, quote, a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many favors of Almighty God. And this celebration was recognized by our nation, but it became officially recognized when Abraham Lincoln proclaimed in 1863, it has seemed to me fit and proper that these gracious gifts of the Most High God should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as the day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwells in the heavens. Really is a beautiful history to a beautiful holiday designed for families to just get together, pause out of the chaos of life, and take time to thank the Lord for His many blessings. No decorations or gifts needed, just thanksgiving. And in fact, it is for days like this that we as believers have been created. The Lord says in Isaiah 43:21, I formed a people for myself that they might declare my praise. To give God glory, to give Him praise, to give Him thanksgiving. That is why we as believers exist. And not just we as believers, but really all humanity. Why has God created us? So that we might give Him praise. This is why all people exist. Nevertheless, there are many believers who can face this holiday season who take a close examination of life and the world that they live in, and they can say, you know what, I'm just not seeing very many things to be thankful for this year. You know, I lost this person that I love, or I'm struggling with this health condition right now, or I'm feeling pressure in this area of my life, and I really am having a hard time seeing what I can be thankful for right now. If that's you tonight, then I hope the passage that we study tonight is a blessing to you, because it was a blessing to me when I first came across it and studied it for myself during a very difficult holiday season for our family's life. And I thought it would be a fitting passage to study this evening as a church as well. Maybe it's because I'm a pastor, but you get a pretty close read on the struggles that people are going through and the hardships that they go through. And I feel like this is a good passage this year to reflect on as we come to a time of thanksgiving. Tonight we're going to be looking at Hebrews 13. So if you have your Bible, if you have your Bible tonight, and I hope you do, please turn to Hebrews 13, verses 12 through 16 is what we're going to be looking at tonight, which is all about offering up to God a constant sacrifice of praise, one that doesn't ebb or flow with the seasons of life, but that finds its constant source of thanksgiving through all situations. And this is the type of life for which we were created, and yet it is the type of life that practically, if we were to be honest, is pretty far from where we live on a daily basis. And so how can we bridge that gap? How can we change? How can we grow? How can we mature to develop a more constant sacrifice of praise to God? Well, that's what we're going to be looking at tonight from Hebrews 13, verses 12 through 16. From these verses, we're going to learn tonight first about the prerequisite of constant praise. That's in verses 12 through 14, what we need to have before we can have a life of constant praise. And then we're going to conclude with the practice of constant praise. So what does it look like when we offer up to God a life of thanksgiving? So that is in verses 15 through 16. So the prerequisite followed by the practice of constant praise. With that in mind, let's read Hebrews 13, verses 12 through 16. And really, we can back up to verse 10 for some context. It says this, "We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sins are burned outside the camp." Verse 12. "So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach that he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. This is the word of God who hears our voice and gives us life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the passage set before us this evening. Father, I pray that it would have its intended effect in our hearts and our minds tonight, so that we would enter into this next week, so we would enter into this next month and next year with the right heart, the right mind, the right spirit. Father, as those who do not know you do not give you thanks, work in our hearts tonight as your people, so that we might give you a sacrifice of praise that is worthy of your great name. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So first, if we desire to demonstrate a life of constant praise and thanksgiving through all of life's circumstances, then we first have to develop, by the grace of God, the prerequisite of constant praise. And that prerequisite, I would summarize it as this, is to restore our focus. It's to restore our focus. Nothing kills Thanksgiving quicker than focusing on the wrong things. Or you could put it this way, those things that are not the most important. And so if we're going to be able to offer up to God thanksgiving and praise this week and every week of our lives, then we have got to restore our focus and get our focus on the right things, beginning with Christ and the cross. And that's exactly where this passage begins. Look at verse 12. The author says this in Hebrews 13. The author says, "So Jesus also suffered outside the gate." Why? In order to sanctify or set apart the people through his own blood. We think about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ oftentimes almost exclusively as a substitutionary payment for our sins. And that is true. Jesus Christ did die to forgive you of your sins. That is gloriously good news. That is our greatest problem. We are sinners. And apart from the grace of God that is ours in Christ Jesus, we stand beneath God's wrath for our sins. And Jesus Christ died. He took the penalty for our sins on the cross in our place so that we would be set free. But Jesus died not only to set us free from something, but he also died to sanctify, to set us apart for something. He had not only a negative, if you will, purpose to his death on the cross, he had a positive purpose for it. And it says here that he suffered outside the gate. Why? In order to sanctify or set apart a people for himself through his own blood. When Jesus died on that cross, he was focused on far more than just saving you from sin's penalty, which is eternal death. He was focused on saving you from your own sinful, can I put it this way, as we're going to see it later, self-absorbed life now. Titus 2, 13 through 14 tells us that our great God and Savior Jesus Christ gave himself for us for this purpose. It says, to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people of his own possession who are zealous for good works, to create a people whose heart is wholly devoted to him. As 1 Peter 1:18 taught us, we have been ransomed by the precious blood of Christ, and we learned there not only from hell, but also from futile ways of living that we inherited from our forefathers. Jesus' mission was to set apart a people for himself, a set apart a people for God and his glory. He set him apart. He set himself apart for the glory of God so that we would be set apart for God's glory also. That's why after the author mentions verse 12, he then says in verse 13, therefore, in other words, in light of the life that Christ lived, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach that he endured. In other words, we should follow him. We should follow him. Christ, if Christ could not live a life for the glory of God without enduring hardship, struggle, reproach, and even death, then why should we expect any less in this life? Jesus died. He set himself apart in this world for the glory of God so that we would be set apart in this world for the glory of God also. Jesus died, you could put it this way, so that we would be different, so that we would live life from a different perspective, not with the thinking of the world who's driven by what's in this world and what can it give to me, but thinking rather like Jesus, who is driven by who is God and what must I give to him. When we remember Christ's focus, we are called to restore our own. We are called to be set apart in our time, will, emotions, and ambitions for the glory of God. And when we do that, it is true, just like Jesus, we will suffer hardship just like Jesus did. Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Brothers and sisters, I hope you realize that it is not God's will for you or I to avoid hardship any more than it was God's will for Christ to avoid it either. But it is God's will for you to glorify him in life and in death, in comfort and in hardship. See, our focus in life is to be totally different. Whatever moments I might see, just let your will be done in me. That's our purpose. The thought that you are glorified is all it takes for me to be satisfied. Look to Jesus and restore your focus. We've been set apart not for comfort in this world, but for the glory of God. Now, what can help us do this? What truth can help us view our earthly life and circumstances as of lesser importance than the glory of God? It's the truth of verse 14. The truth of verse 14. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. We could just park on that first phrase for a while. Here we have no lasting city. Nothing here on earth belongs to us. Everything is a gift given by God's grace for its appointed time and span. So there's one way to look at that, is you could look at that and say, well, don't cling too tightly to things. Don't cling too tightly to your home. It's not going to last. Don't cling too tightly to this nation. It's not going to last. Don't cling too tightly to this world or to its opinions or its promises. It's not going to last. Don't cling too tightly to anything in this world. Hold it all with gratitude and with an open hand. For here we have no lasting city, but our city. We seek the city that is to come. See, if we're going to live a life of constant praise, we've got to restore our focus. We've got to remember that we are simply sojourners here, pilgrims passing through this world into the next. Therefore, as we seek to reach the world and as we seek to minister the world, we must make sure that we do not become invested in this world. We're not living for this world. We are living ultimately for the next. For the city that is to come, the heavenly one which cannot be shaken, to which we belong, whose founder and builder is God. We are just passing through this world for the glory of God, and we will take none of these things with us. And again, Jesus is our great example. Jesus was willing to accept whatever God had in store for him because his affections were not grounded ultimately in the here and now, but in the glory of God in heaven. So I say all of that. You might be thinking, okay, Pastor, well, what does any of this have to do with me living a life of constant praise and thanksgiving to God? And the answer is simply this. You will never praise God continually until you realize that the basis for praising God continually is not found in your circumstances, but it is found in the privilege and role of bringing glory to God. We've got to remember our focus and restore it. Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 10:31 that your purpose in life, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, is to bring glory to God. And Romans 8:28 says that if you're a believer, all things will work together towards that ultimate good. All things. Literally everything you experience in life, believer, comes to you through the Blessed One, Jesus Christ. And everything that comes to you reveals to you the glory of God, which is good. from that perspective, even the hard things you go through is a blessing from God. That's why Paul could say in Philippians 1, 20 through 21, when he was in prison and he didn't know whether the next day would bring him life or death, he said, "With full courage, I eagerly expect that now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." See, knowing that God was going to be glorified in all circumstances of his life enabled Paul to rejoice in all circumstances of his life. And that's the key to a life of continual praise. Everything that happens in your life, believer, everything comes to you through the Blessed One, not dependent on what you have done, but on whom you are in. From moments of laughter to moments of tear, everything is a gift of love sent from the Father to you because you are his beloved son. I know that might sound a little hard tonight, but I want you to know this is not something I just say philosophically. These are truths that I ran to and clung to during a very difficult time in my family's life. This is something that was intensely practical that I wrestled through the year that we found out we were having a daughter and also the year that we buried her. This passage was a comforting correction to my affections, to restore my focus so that I might give God thanks for all that God gives to me. I don't know what your past week has looked like or what your past year has looked like, but I do know that if you are in Christ, every second has been an expression of God's love to you in his son Jesus. And that's why you can this Thanksgiving give thanks in all circumstances. You can rejoice even in your sufferings, and you can count it all joy because you rejoice in the Lord. We've got to restore our focus as believers, especially when we go through hard times. We are in Christ, and in Christ, everything is sent from God for his glory and our good. So do you see now why restoring our focus is a prerequisite to our life of constant praise? If we don't look at our life in this perspective, then circumstances that we view as difficult will cut off our praise and thanksgiving from God. And God is worthy of your worship in hard times and in good. Even as Job said, when he lost everything, he still praised the Lord. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As long as you're thinking like the world and acting like the world and looking at your worldly circumstances as the basis of thanksgiving, you'll never give God the constant praise that he deserves. But when you look behind your circumstances, in faith, to the glory of God and his hand at work, then your praise is allowed to be set loose and infuse every area and every moment of your life beyond Thanksgiving into the rest of the year. So the first step to living a life that constantly praises God is to realize that you have literally everything to be thankful for this year, for everything's a blessing in Christ. Everything. He is worthy of constant praise because he is a God of constant blessings. And so that's the basis, the prerequisite of constant praise. So finally, let's consider really as our application before we break up into our time of testimony, which I'm taking too long, I just realized already, the practices of constant praise. We want to give God constant praise for his constant blessings, not just at Thanksgiving, but for the rest of the year. And so how do we do that? Starting this week, our author gives us here in this passage two suggestions. Publicly acknowledge God and persistently aid others. That's how we can begin to live a life of constant praise this week. Publicly acknowledge God and persistently aid others. So first, publicly acknowledge God. That's in verse 15. It says, through him, through Christ, when we look at our life through Christ Jesus, in him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name, that acknowledge his character, his worth in all moments. Before Christ came, God asks for sacrifices of grain and animals as a picture of what Jesus would do one day. Today, God asks exclusively for a sacrifice of praise from his people. And he always has, by the way. Psalms 50, verses 13 through 14, God says this, "Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving, for it is the one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice that glorifies me." And Psalms 107, verse 22 says, "Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, and let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy." See, it is befitting in light of God's constant blessings to us in Christ that we should offer up a constant sacrifice of praise to God. Unless you think that a sacrifice of praise is confined to just singing songs on Sunday, the author tells us here that a sacrifice of praise to God is also defined as the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Not just in worship songs, but in everyday conversations. And in testimony services as well. When something happens in your life, whether pleasant or otherwise, we should publicly acknowledge God's hand and God's glory and God's character and God's control and God's care in it. A good test for us as a church will be this entire week, and especially this Thursday at Thanksgiving. As I was thinking about it, many of us will be with extended family members and friends, maybe neighbors and the like. Many of us will doubtless have many opportunities to discuss various things that have been happening in our lives and that have been happening in our world. And there will be no better day to acknowledge God's hand in everything to our family members and to publicly thank him for all that he is doing. We must make it a priority this week to acknowledge God in the presence of our neighbors and our family members and friends for the continual blessings that he gives us through Christ Jesus. And not only that, but a continual sacrifice of praise includes not only publicly acknowledging God, but also persistently aiding others. Verse 16 says, "Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." What a great reminder for Thanksgiving, by the way. You know, this week we should not only thank God for what he continually puts into our lives, but we should also turn around and share those very blessings with others. So is Thanksgiving a time when we can get together as a family and say, "I'm so glad I have all this food. Let's stuff ourselves." Is that the purpose of Thanksgiving? No. How we can offer up a continual praise to God is actually by considering how can we share the blessings God has given to those who might not have them. So let me encourage you, if God has given you food, think of inventive ways this week to share that food with others. Very simply, right? Or if God has given you shelter and a home, think of inventive ways this week that you can share that. If God has given you money, financial resources, and you know of someone in need, this would be a great week to acknowledge God's hand and to help somebody out. And if God has given you truth and a Savior, you should share that as well. Whatever God has given you, look for ways to share it this week. Think of this coming week as a divine scavenger hunt. That's what I've been thinking of. A divine scavenger hunt. Look for needs around you. Look for opportunities to share both your goods and your God with others. And when we do that, we're told here that such sacrifices are pleasing to God. And isn't that the type of life that you want to live starting this week? One that continually acknowledges God's hand at work, and one that is persistently aiding others in their needs. One that continually praises and pleases God by acknowledging him and aiding others. It all starts with restoring our focus by looking at our life from God's perspective, a life that is designed for God's glory and continually surrounded with gifts of blessings in Christ. You have everything to be thankful for this holiday season, believer, because in Christ, God has showered upon you rich blessings. So acknowledge God this week and aid others. Look for needs, for opportunities to share your goods and your God and your unique perspective on all circumstances. For the God who gives constant blessing is worthy of constant praise. And that's why we're here tonight. That's why we're here tonight. And so I'm going to say a prayer and then let's let our time of testimony begin as a church. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for how it is a comfort and it is encouragement and it is conviction. And Father, we thank you that though we are in this world, though we are even outside, in a sense, of the city with Christ, we are in Jesus and we are headed towards a heavenly city that cannot be shaken. So, Father, I just pray that tonight would be a reflection of that divine perspective and focus that can only come through Christ Jesus. And, Father, help us to share that good perspective, that good news, that good truth to those who are around us this week. Help us to show them your hand at work for your honor and for your glory. And help us tonight, even in this testimony service, to give you a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving that is worthy of your great name. For such sacrifices are pleasing in your sight. May we please you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.